it's time for Word on the Street. Soccer Sam welcomes the biggest names in Rochester sports, politics, media, and community to talk one-on-one. This is not your average interview show. Sam goes way beyond, some might say over the line, to get the inside dirt. Be a part of the show. Call or text 222-1280. Now live from the Fox Sports 1280 studios in downtown Rochester, this is Word on the Street. Here's Soccer Sam.
Good afternoon, Rochester. Good afternoon, the world. This is Soccer Sam Fantuzzo here live on iHeartRadio coming to you. I know people are listening right now in Europe, Florida on the beaches, the bikini bar that I hang out at. That they don't have my favorite beer there, unfortunately, but they're working on it. This show is to bring you something different every week. And this week we're going to talk about one of the most successful businesses in Rochester, New York right now that was formed and started here. It's called Three Heads Brewery, and one of the founders, Mr. Dan Nothnagel, in the studio. Welcome, Dan.
Hey. Hello, Rochester. Thanks for having me, Soccer Sam. It's a real honor and pleasure to be here talking not only to you but your audience and Rochester in general. So thanks. It's really sweet to be here.
I saw your post online. You just love this city. You're a Rochester guy. The Nothnagel name is so famous in Rochester. What's your connection with the Nothnagel realtor name?
Okay. My grandfather, John T., is actually the one that started Nothnagel Gallery of Homes back in 1948. He had seven kids, but two of them, Ray and Phil, kind of took over the mantle of the business in the 80s, and Phil is my dad, and he became president and CEO in, I think, 1989. And so after college, when I graduated, I actually worked for Nothnagel Realtors for about 22 years before spinning off onto this latest venture here.
So that's how I met you. I was with the Rhinos. You took care of us, you know. Again, giving back to Rochester, the Rhinos didn't have a title sponsor in the jerseys. I met with you. You said Nothnagel would love to be on there, and that's how we met. And next thing I know, you're dabbling in this basement thing that you're working out with some friends. Tell me about who these guys are and how it all started.
Well, first of all, I remember it was probably maybe about 20 years ago, Soccer Sam would come into our marketing zone there. And, you know, we're going back, both of us, and you know, he's a larger-than-life character, the pain clinic guy with his spiky yellow hair. You know, probably about 280 at the time, at least.
Maybe 380.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, he would remark that, hey, I didn't get this body eating yogurt. So, you know, I know now he's probably eating a little more yogurt, but he looks great. So, yeah, I was a very passionate beer guy. So, you know, when I went to college and, you know, everybody was, if you were drinking Jenny, you were kind of stepping up back then. But so about 30 years ago, I started really getting into this new wave of craft beer. And fortunately for me, a couple fellas moved in my neighborhood, kind of right across the street from me. And Todd, who, if you're listening, hey, you know, him and I really shared the same love for craft beer. And we started homebrewing, you know, I'd say a good 22 years ago, in his basement. His brother-in-law is a fellow named Jeff, also, hey. They're married to identical twins, so funny. So we used to be Friday night, Saturday night, cooking beers down in the basement all the time, pouring our love of beers into our little hobby craft. And at the time, the craft beer scene here in this area and in America in general was so much different than it is now. And, you know, kind of light bulb hit me. Hey, Rochester needs a kick-butt brewery, because I was acquiring beers from the West Coast, you know, stuffing boxes and trading with people I would meet on the internet, you know, in the dirty world there. And I was sending them rare things from this side of the country. They were sending me that. And I was like, you know, Rochester needs something like this. And that's really where the idea of Three Heads kind of came about.
So you had your full-time job, and those guys had their full-time and it was just a weekend little hobby thing?
Yeah. So what kind of transpired is, so after about, you know, after about 8 months of doing this, we kind of dabbled into putting beers into contests. They do homebrew contests. And, you know, on a lark, we entered five beers, and we left there with three medals, including a couple golds. And, you know, our whole concept was sort of like, we don't want to open a pizza shop if we don't know how to make dough. And so we started, you know, brewing for that.
Hey, wait a minute. I did.
Well, you got to learn. So, you know, we wanted to learn the process. And so the ideas and the slowdown of the economy that was happening around 2006, 2008 kind of gave us a pause in that, hey, maybe we're not just going to build a place. Maybe we should find some place to make our beers. You know, our recipes that were coming out pretty good, we won a best of show out of like 400 beers one time, and you know, maybe we'll just make these beers somewhere. So we kind of looked around and settled on Custom Brew Crafters out there in Honeyway Falls, and in 2010 we started making Three Heads beers and selling them out to the public.
So you started doing it in 2010 in Honeyway Falls, and did you already designed the logos, the names, the cool, kind logo and all that? Tell me how that all transpired. Because you were a marketing guy. You were kind of into all this whole graphic design world.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everything, you got to attract people's attention. You know, you can have a great product, but if you don't sort of get people to try it, you know, no one's gonna get to it. So, you know, every beer, no matter what, if you don't have a good label, You're not going anywhere. So fortunately for us, my two partners now, they're in a little rock and roll band, and they're actually playing at the Fairport Music Fest today at 4:15. So if you're out and about, you can drink some Three Heads beers there and see Todd and Jeff rocking it down today. So they're in a band, and, you know, bands have cool posters, and they hang them up around town. And one of the guys in the band's brother-in-law is a art teacher here at Greece Olympia High School. And they were like, hey, you know, my brother-in-law, he really draws these great pictures. His name's Alan Furlett. He's like the man behind the curtain for Three Heads, if it will. And he drew some art pieces, and we're like, holy cow. And we actually set him on some ideas to make some labels for Three Heads, and we were just blown away at how awesome they were. So really, we started with four beers then. One was the kind, and, you know, that has quickly risen to be our flagship beer and something that hopefully a lot of people in the audience are familiar with.
Yeah, I mean, it's every fine restaurant in town or cool bar has the kind. It's my favorite beer to pick from. But for like 6 years, you brewed your product somewhere else.
Correct. So, yeah, we started in 2010, and we grew pretty rapidly. So I brought in Jeff and Todd. They were my partners. They were stay-at-home dads at the time. Their kids were getting off to school. And they were pretty much in charge of the day-to-day business as far as driving out to Honeyway Falls with our truck, warehousing our product, shipping it to distributors, and then going out to local bars and restaurants here, delivering and selling. We had a van, and we started, you know, delivering our beers. And at a certain point, we really couldn't handle the volume that we were doing then. So we partnered with Lake Beverage here in Rochester, turned over our keg distribution. And so our last year at Custom Brew Crafters, about 3 years ago, we did the equivalent of about 3,600 barrels of beer, which is a pretty solid amount. And it took about 2 years to build our place on Atlantic Avenue. And the first year in operation, we kind of doubled our capacity there. So, and then every year we've gone up about 25-30%. And, you know, this year it's not quite at that level, but we're still growing, and it's still a great time to be a beer drinker here in Rochester.
Well, that craft brewer place in Canandaigua, is that the one that was in the news recently? Is that the same place? That
The Honeyway Falls?
Yeah.
Yeah, Custom Brew Crafters. Yeah, unfortunately, they announced they're closing up next weekend.
Ooh.
You know, there's a lot of factors. I think the owner wants to retire. I think losing our volume wasn't a good thing for their business. And, you know, things change.
Right. Everything changes. So I want to talk after the next segment, after we go to break, I want to talk about, you know, how you built this amazing facility. But prior to that, I want to talk about how do you come up with these recipes, like, you know, the kind. How long does it take to get it perfect, and what do you kind of like, what do you use as your guide?
Well, a lot of those, you know, I think like now at Three Heads, we have, I don't know, probably 50 years experience in brewing beers with Bruce, Casey, and Derek, our brewers, and we've all been making recipes. So once you kind of know you know, what like oregano is going to do to your spaghetti sauce, you can kind of predict how it's going to come out, and then you tweak it, you know. So we're always tinkering a little bit, like the kind, you know, just in the last couple months, we kind of tinkered it a little bit with our filtration process. And, you know, we're always striving to make the perfect beer. And so you will trial and error out there. But, you know, when we were at Custom Brew Crafters, most of the beers we made, the first time we made it was the first time we made it. Like, well, you can homebrew all you want on a little system, but once you make 120 kegs of it, you better be darn sure it's going to be good, because you're going to lose a lot of money if it's not.
So that's how it works. But now, well, we're going to talk about that after. So did you have any failures with that? Did you put together a beer and like do all this running and wait, this is how we thought it was going to be?
Oh yeah, I'm sure there's been a couple that, you know, didn't come out quite where we want, but we stand behind our beers. Our beers are pretty rock star up and down the aisle. So, well, we're very happy. Like for instance, I'm looking at our Rocktoberfest that came out a few weeks ago. It's our fall bottled seasonal. It's a great fest beer, German style fest beer. And you know, it's the third time we've made it. Each time has been a tiny bit different. And honestly, I think it's a fantastic beer. If anybody's out there, give it a shot. It's Rocktoberfest.
I like the Rocktoberfest. So Dan, your two friends, Todd and Jeff, day one, start the thing in the basement, working together. They're your neighbors, but it's not like guys you went to high school with or college with. You just got to know them. I mean, how's this whole partnership working out, and how'd that all like transpire into this big company and three guys running it?
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, the dynamic has changed, of course, because, you know, we used to be small, now we're bigger. Now we have up to about 30 employees. You know, some of them are part-time, a bunch of them are full-time. So the roles have evolved, you know, so it's really good to have. We kind of run Three Heads as sort of like a collective, you know, the CEO like myself or president or whatever. I'm not just making decisions and, you know, forcing people to live with them. We really make sure everybody's on the same page with a lot of the stuff we do, and whether it's new beers or things in the tasting room or whatnot. And, you know, Jeff has evolved into like really being the focal point of our, you know, the tasting room with the music and stuff we have there. And Todd really helps run the warehouse. You know, he's sort of in charge. So we have different roles now, and you know, it makes it really nice and smooth.
So who's the character on the kind, the famous kind picture?
Yeah, that's a kind of a caricature of Jeff Dale, the Minister of Mayhem, that you might hear advertising on iHeartRadio.
I love that. I love
it.
Yeah. Cool dude, man. So we come back. I want to find out how you found this property to build one of the nicest breweries maybe in New York State. And I want to talk a little about the family life, because doing all this, you know, a little hobby, but full-time job, hobby in a friend's basement, and keeping a family going is tough, where a lot of young business people don't understand that. And I want to find out how that all worked out for you. All right, Dan?
Sounds good.
Dan Nathnagel, Three Heads. Three Heads Brewery, the kind. I gotta stop drinking before I go on the air.
Did you know that 75% of women color their hair? When I started talking about founding an innovative hair color company, so many women shared their troubling hair color stories with me. I'm Amy Errett, founder of Madison Reed, a company I named after my daughter. I started Madison Reed to transform how women get great hair color. Three reasons why you'll love Madison Reed. One, our Italian-made multi-tonal hair color is delivered to your door and takes less than an hour. Two, our ammonia-free salon-quality color costs less than $25. And three, our online color quiz and access to licensed colorists make it easy to find your perfect shade. You no longer have to spend hours and hundreds of dollars in the salon chair to get gorgeous hair. Visit madison-reed.com and get 10% off plus free shipping on your first color kit. Use code YES123. That's code YES123. Try it. Love it. That's the beauty of Madison Reed.
you want to call in here on Word on the Street, it's 585-222-1280, star 1280 in your Verizon cell phone that Verizon doesn't pay us for. Right, Rich? I'm supposed to say that. But
I will say, if you pull the microphone out of your mic again, maybe we could have them come on there and host it, right?
Yeah, we could do that. Soccer Sam Fantuzzo in the studio, Rich Kicker Jones pushing the buttons, and Dan Knopfnagel, one of the founders of Three Heads Brewery, in the studio. I'm looking at the Rocktoberfest brew here. Great label. You talked about earlier who designs these labels, his name again is?
Alan Furlett.
Guy's talented, man. It's got a cool feel to it.
Yeah, we have a new beer coming out this year and towards the end of October, so another new label. It's going to be really fun.
So before we talk about you building a new brewery and then you and I reuniting to try to get you to be a sponsor of the Lancers and how that all transpired, how about the family life? How did you juggle that in going over and testing beers? I mean, you might probably didn't have a lot of energy after testing beers all night at your buddy's basement.
Yeah, I mean, when you're testing beers, you know, sometimes I can get a little bit out of hand. You know, there was a few nights there that I didn't make it all the way up the stairs. You know, I might have relaxed on the couch a little bit. But, you know, right now we're really kind of settling into our roles. But for the past, 8 years, at Three Heads, like, I was working essentially my full-time job. And then, you know, pulling the strings on this, we do a lot of events. Well, you know, where you go to bars and restaurants and you do tastings and you throw Three Heads events places. We do a lot of tastings like at Wegmans. So probably your listeners have seen someone from Three Heads like doing some samplings. And, you know, for the first few years, that was all us. I mean, I'm proud to say now that 3 years into our brewery, you know, we've got like a little posse of people. And, you know, I do those less, and I guess all three of us do those less right now, but, you know, for 7 or 8 years. And yeah, that is a big thing on the family. Even now, Jeff, spends a lot of time, like, we do some music every Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, and that's his baby. So, you know, he's there a lot, and you do miss out on some things with your kids, and we all have children, but, you do it for the love of what you're doing. I mean, and the great thing about what we do at Three Heads every day is it's really not work. It's, it's hot in there. It's, it's strenuous. You come home, your back hurts. And, we get to wear shorts and t-shirts and we get to do what we love. And there's no substitute for that.
So working in the beginning, like you said, doing it all, I mean, how tough was it, at home and the kids and everything else?
Well, for one thing, I can tell you that out there in Listenerville, if you've never hauled a couple 160-pound kegs up and down stairs in some of these bars and restaurants that we all like to go to in the middle of winter when your boots are slippery, that is a tough job. So on a different note, it's one of the highest workers' comp rates in New York State. none of us got divorced, if that's what you mean, but certainly, you know, it was always like, and we've done a lot of traveling. When we were in the contract beer world, we used to sell beer, you know, throughout the Northeast. I mean, Maine, Vermont, Massachusetts, even Chicago, Washington, D.C. So, you know, there were times when myself or Jeff, we'd go away for a whole week and, you know, travel to support our brand. And we were doing that for a long time. And the one thing of how the industry's changed is, you know, 7 or 8 years ago, hey, those hippie guys in Rochester making those hippie-style beers, it was unique. Now every town has 20, 30 breweries. So, you know, it's we kind of expanded to survive in our contract brewing model, but now we contracted to thrive. So I like to say that. Expanded to survive, contract to thrive, contracted to thrive.
So support at home from all three, obviously wives and family members is really important to start this business and keep it going for the years that you did.
Absolutely. I mean, my wife and kids have been supportive, just like Todd and Jeff's. And I'll remember this, like when we sat them down, you know, my kids now are, I got two in high school and a middle school, but about 5 or 6 years ago, I sat them down and I said, you know what, daddy's going to be leaving Knopfnagel Realtors and going to work at Three Heads Brewing full time. And my middle child, Finian, who's 14 now, he was probably about 8 at the time. He goes, oh, no, we're doomed. So 6 years later, well, you know, we're still paying the mortgage. And, you know, still getting our pizza at Salvatore. So things are going good.
That is awesome. So I should ask you this earlier. The name Three Heads, I mean, obviously three partners maybe, but was there other names you guys were kind of like, you know, did you have like a hat and like, let's go with this name? How did it work?
Nah, you know, so, I mean, the thing about us is we're fun, loving, music-loving kind of guys. I used to be a big Grateful Dead head. I saw my first concert back in 1983. That's how old I am, people.
Wait, Silver Stadium?
Nah, that was back at the War Memorial.
Okay.
Actually, and, they, you know, in 86, 87, 88, I think those were the Silver Stadium years. But, you know, I probably saw about 50, 60 Grateful Dead concerts between, say, 1983 and 1989. And those two guys, Todd and Jeff, they like this band called Fish. It's pretty popular. They sort of took up that jam band mantle when Jerry sort of moved on. And so, you know, we're a bunch of heads, so we called ourselves Three Heads. Like the, you know, a triangle is sort of self-supportive, and you know, we really liked that concept for the thing. So actually, that was really the only idea we ever had. So it stuck from pretty early on. We had the name Three Heads Brewing for like 3 years before we started, you know, making beers.
So you knew you had the vision. You went with it. It worked. So now you're private, or you have a co-brewer or co-packer brewing your beer.
Yep.
6 years. There's this piece of land on University Avenue that for years I thought was just amazing piece of land. I used to go to Tony's Collision, and yep. I thought, why isn't that something there? Why isn't that like some cool wild restaurant? Or I start driving by there, and I see this thing starting to happen, and I'm like, what is this thing? Tell me about how that came out, how you found the land, how the whole thing on University happened.
Yeah, so about, you know, once I left my job, you know, we started, okay, now it's put up or shut up time. If we want to take this business to the next level, we really got to put our own building in and, you know, pay ourselves instead of somebody else. And we started looking at property. And, you know, there's a lot of abandoned warehouses and things all around this area. But, you know, we visited a couple. We toured some with a commercial real estate agent. And he goes, you know, that parcel over there on Atlantic Avenue that we've all driven by, that Soccer Sam mentioned, you know, it had that old rusty fence around there. You know, I think Gleason Works used to own it and park some buildings, and maybe at one day it was a house or, you know, something like the houses. He goes, Frank and Berger just bought that. You know, he's the one of the owners of FSI Construction, and people have seen their work all over town. And I'm like, oh, really, Frank? I mean, I went to high school with Frank. And so, I mean, as soon as he told me that, it was game on. You know, we figured out a way to make it work. Like, he was going to put a lot of faith in us because, you know, the contract model that we were doing, it's very hard to be competitive when you're buying, you know, your beer at a certain price and then trying to make a profit. So for those first 3-4 years, we were not a profitable business. So we had to convince banks that, you know, just because we're not profitable now, we can be. Look at our business plan here. And, you know, banks don't like to necessarily give you millions of dollars based on a plan. They want to see, you know, real numbers. So it did take some time. It took faith. S&T Bank here downtown loaned us a little money. Frank built the building for us. And here we are 3 years later. We have a beautiful building, great facility for doing what we do. And it's really been a team effort. You know, it's kind of the whole motto with Three Heads, not just one person, one vision. It's a real aggregate.
Well, I want to talk about that vision when we come back from the next break. I want to talk about, like, how do you, like, on a piece of paper, how do you design a brewery in a bar, in a music area, in an outside patio? How did that all come together? I want to find that out from you next, Dan Nothingo from Three Heads Brewery. All right, man?
That sounds good.
Hello, beautiful. I'm Amy Arrett, founder of Madison Reed, a hair color company I named after my daughter. One of the things I value most in life is time. Time to spend with my daughter, time to spend with family, and the time I put into my company that's reinventing the way women color their hair. The busiest, most successful women I know use Madison Reed, the amazing hair color hack. In under an hour and for less than $25, Madison Reed delivers gorgeous, shiny, multidimensional, healthy-looking hair with an ammonia-free formula. You'll look like you just came from a salon, but the reality is you have more me time to do what you love. Things get busy. Let us take care of you and your hair. Find your perfect shade at madison-reed.com and get 10% off plus free shipping on your first color kit. Use code COLOR123. That's code COLOR123. Try it. Love it. That's the beauty of Madison Reed.
We are back on the Word. Word on the Street on your iHeartRadio app and locally on Fox Sports 1280. Rochester, if you want to call and talk about your beer story with Dan Nothingle from Three Heads, it's 222-1280 or star 1280. Dan, you mentioned something. Were you guys able to get into Wegmans prior to you moving to the new facility?
Yeah, actually, Wegmans, I can't say enough good about Wegmans. I mean, not only is it a fantastic store, great service, selection, everybody loves Wegmans, but they've been really supportive of Three Heads from day one. And, I mean, right now, most of their stores are our top, you know, off-premise stores where you take your beer, you don't consume it there, you take it away with you. And, I mean, there's 21 stores in the Rochester footprint, so we love Wegmans. Wegmans is good to us, and they've been a real firm believer in what we do. They like to have local brands as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really a match made in heaven. We used to make a beer for their pub there in Fairport, and, you know, they got kind of away from that, but it's really been a sense of pride for us and working with them.
So you're driving down Atlantic Avenue. The realtor brings you this land. You say, hey, this is cool. Frankenberger owns it. You went to high school with him. How do you put it all together and, like, you know, like, design this amazing facility? How do you put it all together?
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's actually really tough because, like you said, I was a philosophy major in college. I had spent 20 years doing, you know, marketing for a real estate company that, yeah, we were successful and I had a team and a, you know, all that kind of stuff. We won $1.5 billion in sales. You know, nothing really does prepare you to design a whole building. You got to know all the power that needs to go where. You got to know how tall all the tanks are. You got to know the power draws for all the different types of equipment, whether it's the grain mill. You know, you got to heat the water. You got to have a boiler for that. You got to have a big chiller. You got to have air conditioning. You got to have cooling systems. So, you know, I did work with a fellow that helps plan that. And then obviously you have architects, you have engineers. I mean, it is a big process. And to be honest, that's where FSI, Frankenberger, really helped because, and then you got to get all the zoning, you know, like you got to convince the people that this is going to be good. We had to convince the neighbors that we were going, you know, that place was vacant for, I don't know, 10, 15 years. It just sat. And then, you know, the neighbors all had to be like, hey, who are these guys building this huge brewery? And that's going to create traffic and noise. And then we tell them we're going to have some live music there, big patio. So we had to get the neighbors involved and bring them in and say, hey, we're good guys. It's not going to be too loud. We're going to close in decent time. We're not going to be an all-night place. You know, so it is incredible actually looking back on it now because I've stepped away from it a bit, you know, how much it did take to do something like that.
Sure. I mean, like, you know, pizza shops open every day in different neighborhoods, but to know a brewery's coming in, it's not something you hear of. Usually they're out in the middle of nowhere or an old warehouse, like you said. But now you're building this brand new brewery in this hip new up and coming neighborhood around University and Atlantic and that whole area. That had to be a challenge to get the zoning and the approvals and everything else.
I mean, the one great thing, you know, the neighborhood of the arts. I had an apartment on right there on University in Oxford like 25 years ago. And to see where that neighborhood was then and to see where it is now is really mind-blowing. I mean, the Village Gate has grown every year. It's fantastic. You have so many great restaurants within a half a mile from Three Heads. You know, it's really just exploded with the development, and now it's probably some of the most, you know, higher priced real estate in the area as far as people wanting to get there. And, of course, we're only like a frisbee throw from George Eastman House, Park Ave, East Ave, you know, the East End. So it's a really good synergy for what's happening in Rochester. Obviously, the mayor right now, Lovely Warren's been very supportive of businesses going into downtown.
She's my favorite mayor of all time.
You know, anybody that lets us build a brewery down there has got to be pretty good. So, I do think that a lot of people out there in Listenerville don't really understand that the city is really trying to drive business into downtown, and you can see it pop up.
It's everywhere.
You know, so I think they do try to accommodate that, and, you know, now that's bringing a lot more people, you know, a lot more of these nice condos downtown like we're looking at right now. And I think the mayor has a lot to do with it, so hats off to her people.
Doing her thing. So, you know, the brewery business, because, you know, you were kind of going there and bottling your stuff and making your stuff at a different brewery, so you kind of got that. So you knew the height of the tanks, the drainage, the power, you know, the loading dock. That's kind of like, you know, it was kind of related to what you were doing before. But now...
Not really, actually.
While you're waiting to kind of open up this, you did that. Similar, right? But you'd have to go pick up the product, right? And then go, you know, brew it there.
Sure. We learned a lot, you know, in those 5 or 6 years that we were warehousing and things like that. But, you know, it's a totally different ball game.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be like, how much do you really know about making pizzas just by delivering it?
Right.
You know,
so it's like that. So basically everything was new. But the point I was getting at, when I come there and I see the bar area with the stage and the outdoor patio, that's like 4 or 5 different businesses all into one for 3 guys that didn't really do this before. So tell me how that all happened.
Well, you got to bring in good people. Like, you know, any smart person running a business, I'm sure like yourself, you have to bring in people that know more about it than you do and accept that and encourage that. You know, we have a great tasting room manager. It's not me, Todd, or Jeff. And he handles a lot of people, their scheduling, make sure everything is done, what beers are on, that kind of stuff, all any signage or day-to-day stuff. And he runs that. I've got 3 brewers in place. You know, they run the brewery. We homebrew, but we don't know how to make beer on a professional scale. I mean, that's up to we have to leave that to professionals, guys with, you know, 10, 20, 30 years experience. So, I mean, making beer on an industrial capacity, it's all about making sure nothing gets into it to infect the batch, you know, or else you have a lot of money literally going down the drain. So it's more of a, you know, it's less of a hobby, of course, at that point, and it's more of a production scale. And so you have to be surrounded by great people. You know, we have security guards. We have, you know, all those people have their own roles. And, you know, you let them, if you let people do their own thing, they'll really be glad to work there. So that's kind of been our motto.
So you got the brewery part of it, and you got the tasting room and the outside patio. How were the first couple weeks, like, adjusting to basically 3 or 4 businesses into one?
Well, you know, the funny thing is, like, it took about a year to build our space, and of course we would go in there when they were pouring concrete. And then the weekend we opened, it was a huge success, and it was kind of like, hey, who are all these people in my living room? You know, like, cause, you know, you walk in there all the time, and now, you know, all the people, you know, are doing their own thing in your space. It's really tremendous, to be honest with you. Any building project, when you see it come to fruition and, you know, the fruits of your labor have, you know, borne out, and now people are, I mean, it gives us tremendous pride when I think about how much beer we're making, and that in order to do that, that means we're selling like hundreds of pints every day to you folks out there. And that's our greatest satisfaction, knowing that you guys like what we do and continue to buy it and support us and what we're up to. So I think in general, as any business, like, you don't do it for yourselves. We do it for the people out there. Like, you tell us what you want. If it's not good, we know we're not going to do it. So that really is our greatest satisfaction. When we see our numbers go up, that means everybody out there in Rochester and beyond really enjoy our product.
And it's so obvious coming there that you guys just love what you do. And that's really what it's about. It's not, you know, I don't think any of this was about how much money we're going to make. It's about doing something we love and satisfying our need to create the coolest looking beer and the tasting beer in this area.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I had to go back and see my father for something at my old place of work. And, you know, it's no offense to anybody, but it just didn't feel right. You know, it felt kind of like, you know, I was so glad to move on and do what you say. You follow what you love. And, you know, it's not getting up to go to work in the morning. It's getting up to do your thing, you know, and I think that's the difference that people, you know, should take away.
I love that. Getting up to do your thing.
I got to do my thing.
So now the Kind, the place is taking off, obviously. The Kind is in every restaurant in town and Wegmans and everything else. How many, like, I know, like, there's a whole bunch of the Two Kind, and there's the Rochesterfarian,
yeah. Yeah, and we're all native Rochesterfarians.
Yeah, and then Strawberry.
Well, we didn't do the Strawberry this year. I mean, you know, the Kind, the Two Kind, the Rochesterfarian, Strong Arm, those are our sort of, in the Lancer Lager, those are our year-round beers.
Right.
And then every 3 or 4 weeks, we do a different packaged product. Like, so right now we just canned up a beer called The Man in Blackberry Gosa. It's like a very fruity, sour, salty beer. It's like a smoothie. It's really fantastic, and that's available. And then, you know, in about 3 weeks from now, we got a little special project with a company called Donuts Delight, and it's a little apple fritter beer. So, you know, we have a new beer, like the Rocktoberfest came out. So in beer, you got to have your horses, you know, the Kind, but then you got to innovate to give people something new to try all the time.
Well, I know, like, the Dinosaur, that's right up the street here, so I do go there for lunch a lot.
Fantastic.
The Kind in my Lancer Lager glass, the Three Heads Lancer Lager glasses. We brought the Lady Lancers there, for a team meal, and,
nice.
The girls that could drink, we made sure that the server knew that we needed Lancer Lager glasses, and everyone had the Kind, and they all loved it, and they're from all over the country, and different countries, and they loved it, but it's cool, like, all the different places around town that they push the Kind, they push local, like you said about Wegmans and the Wegmans family, they believe in this city, and a lot of restaurants around town are the same way. They want to support local.
Yeah, I mean, the great thing about any consumer when they go to, say, the Kind IPA, I mean, it literally is the freshest beer that's consistent in your hand around here. Like, we make that every week. We run it so it runs out. So, you know, when you get that at the Dinosaur or any of our other great accounts, that it's probably a week old or less. So it just pops. You can taste the difference, you know, where people shipping it from far away or big quantities that last a long time in a warehouse, it's not as fresh. So we try to keep it fresh, and Kind IPA is probably always one of the freshest beers people have.
It's so great. Well, listen, we're going to go to one more break, I think, Rich, right? One more break, and then we're going to come back and talk about how we got reacquainted and the whole Lancer thing that you mentioned, the Lancer Lager. And what's next for Three Heads Brewery and some of the cool new things that are coming up in September. All right,
fantastic,
Dan?
Fantastic.
Dan Nothnagel from Three Heads Brewery, one of the three founders with Todd and Jeff, doing their magic in their cool place on Atlantic Avenue. You got to go check it out. And we're going to talk about what's coming up there this upcoming week where you can check it out, or tonight or tomorrow. Be back, Karen. Word on the street.
You know, I was trailed by 20 hounds. Didn't get to sleep that night till the morning came around. Sit out one, but I take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight.
Hello, beautiful. I'm Amy Errett, founder of Madison Reed, a hair color company I named after my daughter. One of the things I value most in life is time. Time to spend with my daughter, time to spend with family, and the time I put into my company that's reinventing the way women color their hair. The busiest, most successful women I know use Madison Reed, the amazing hair color hack. In under an hour and for less than $25, Madison Reed delivers gorgeous, shiny, multidimensional, healthy-looking hair with an ammonia-free formula. You'll look like you just came from a salon, but the reality is you have more me time to do what you love. Things get busy. Let us take care of you and your hair. Find your perfect shade at madison-reed.com and get 10% off plus free shipping on your first color kit. Use code COLOR123. That's code COLOR123. Try it. Love it. That's the beauty of Madison Reed.
I'm Amy Arrett, founder of Madison Reed, a hair color company I named after my daughter. It's very meaningful to me when I hear customers talk about how Madison Reed at-home hair color has changed their lives. Here's Vicki, one of our very first customers.
Coloring my own hair is easier than I ever imagined. The best part? I no longer have to sit in a salon and pay over $100 to have this done. Now I color it when it's convenient for me, and it takes less than an hour. People compliment me on how great my color is, and my hair is incredibly soft and healthy looking.
Experience beautiful, multidimensional, ammonia-free, salon-quality color for under $25. Join the hundreds of thousands of women who have tried and loved Madison Reed. Find your perfect shade at madison-reed.com and get 10% off plus free shipping on your first color kit. Use code EASY123. That's code EASY123. Try it. Love it. That's the beauty of Madison Reed.
We are back on the Word. Word on the Street, iHeartRadio, worldwide and locally on Fox Sports 1280. I'm Soccer Sam Fantuzzo. Rich Kicker Jones pushing the buttons. Dan Knopfnagel from Three Heads Brewery in the studio. Dan, your mom, dad, are they real supportive of this whole little thing? I
mean, oh, yeah. My parents, my family in general, my mom and dad, they're not real big beer drinkers, but and I think they're listening. Hi, Mom. Thanks for bringing me into this world. Hope everything's going good out there, out in Victor Fairport area tonight.
Don't drink the water.
Up on Woodcliff. Yeah. And, you know, my sister and brother and other sister, her husband that's a lawyer, he's been super helpful. I mean, you cannot do something like we do without the support of a lot of people. Shout out to Chad, my man. How you doing, the Rose? And then, you know, it doesn't happen without a, you know, it's a Hillary Clinton phrase that she kind of parlayed, but it does take a village. I mean, it takes a whole bunch of people to do something big, you know, and I'm sure you can attest to the same thing.
Definitely. Now, you mentioned brothers and sisters. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I got a twin sister, Lori, and I got an older brother, Steve, and an older brother, Christine. So there's four of us little Knopfnagels. I got three kids, so we're keeping it going.
Keeping the Knopfnagel name flying here in Rochester. Now the beer thing. So we start this Lancers team, and I'm thinking, you know, I got to go after some sponsors. I need some big sponsors. And, like, I read the story in the paper about Three Heads and Dan Knopfnagel, wait a minute. I know that guy.
Never heard on.
He saved the Rhinos back in the day. Let me go talk to him. So I come in to kind of with a sponsorship package, and Dan says, hey, you ever think about doing your own beer? Like,
yeah. Like, it's such a thrill to work with Soccer Sam. If I know you guys are all fans of his, but he's such an awesome Rochester institution, and It's honestly a thrill. I used to go to the Lancer games back at Hollander Stadium way back when. I think Shep Messing was playing goal.
Yes, the
Shep
there.
And we used to make Shep saves out in my yard, me and my brother. It was a thrill, and we were so happy to work with the Rhinos, and just to do something with the Lancer logo on there and get it out there, and you help us, we help you. That's kind of what it's all about.
Well, so we met, and the idea was to put, you know, Lancer Lager on the shelf and get into Wegmans, which you did, which I, you know, the first time I saw it, I got emotional. Like, a lot of the Lancer players in the era you're talking about, Shep was a rare situation where a lot of those guys didn't get paid a lot of money. A lot of them didn't have insurance. I mean, a lot of them, you know, owners lost everything they had to keep the Lancer name alive. In my job, I feel the pressure on me is to keep the history of these guys going and keep the Lancer alive. So when the legends come by my office, I have some beer that I've bought from my son. The first thing I do is give him a case, and their tears and their emotions about seeing something that they devoted their lives to keep that brand going is now in supermarkets, and kids know the history of the Lancers. It's so cool, Danny, you let that happen.
Yeah, and you can get it at the Salvatore locations. It's $2 a pint. I mean, so hit that Linda DeVeggie pizza with the Lancer Lager. You'll be feeling pretty good about it. It'll make your day better for sure.
Well, I go to Wegmans usually on Saturdays. I call it Sicilian lunch. I take my grandkids there for Sicilian lunch because all the samples. While they're chowing down on the desserts, I check out the beer when they're pouring your beer there. But we come back to you and we say, hey, like, this Lancer Lager is going pretty good.
and you come up with some ideas that you want to do something unique and different. And this all started almost a year ago, probably like October, November. Tell me about this whole new thing that you guys are working on for a company I'm associated with.
Yeah, so, you know, we always kick around the idea of what beers we want to make. And in the fall, you know, it's apple season around here. Everybody, I'm a big Empire apple guy, you know, every day. Got to eat one a day. And so we've been kicking around the idea of making a beer with apples. You know, like it's a cider, kind of. You know, as long as it's less than 50% of apples, then you can call it beer or ale or whatever. So we wanted to do an apple beer. And, you know, the kind of Sam and I started talking and making an apple fritter beer with the best apple fritters in the area, Donuts Delight. I mean, it's such a home run concept that as soon as we thought of it, we're like, wow, let's go for that. And so, you know, it took a little while. And, you know, for us, and obviously it's a beer you want to come out with in the fall. You know, you want to hit when the apples start hitting the farms, people start watching the bills, and they, you know, I remember as a kid, you know, going to some of the apple farms, picking up a dozen donuts and some apples and, you know, getting to sample them at the places. We all know and love them around here. There's tons up in Webster, out in Hilton, you know, whatever your favorites are, just, you know, bring your kids and do that. And then you can, you know, sit around, eat donuts, watch the bills. And, you know, it's such a great summertime, fall time thing. And so we came up with the idea of making an apple fritter beer to launch it in the fall. And so we actually just, we put it in the, we brewed it this past week. It was a really special occasion. So to do it, you know, we did a test batch a few months ago. Soccer Sam tried it. We actually did two, one that was like a crisp sort of beer. And the other one, you know, we went nuts and we put a whole bunch of fritters into it from Donuts Delight and a little bit of milk sugar to get some more sweetness into it. And we all really, really liked that product. So, this past week, we had 1,500 gallons of fresh-pressed apple cider pressed that morning out in DeFisher Farms out in Williamson. They drove a tanker truck in. We pumped it into one of our fermenters. And then the next day, we got 720 apple fritters, you know, that I like to say they're so big, it's like probably three or four donuts, really. And we threw that into the beer and in different stages. And the place smelled just like cinnamon heaven, you know. I mean, it really smelled great, and so the beer is going to be available in about 2 to 3 weeks. We're going to launch it at Three Heads Brewing and at stores on Friday, September 13th, and I think everybody's going to really enjoy, you know, celebrating Rochester with two brands that are unique to this area, and you know, the product is going to be a real tasty treat, nice little cinnamon apple-y beer.
Well, you know, I just mentioned about the Lancers and the Legends. Well, the Malley family, Robert Malley, was a school teacher, and his dad started this bakery in 1958, and he was forced to kind of leave teaching to go help his dad with his business. And you know, we all know the story. They closed down for 5 years, and we thought we were just going to put a pizzeria there, and it ended up being a both. But that's what I'm thinking right now in my head. I'm not thinking of anything other than seeing that Donuts Delight logo on a beer, and Mr. Yeah. Malley, that since 1958 devoted his life to this brand and raised his family from this brand. And because of the competition coming in, whatever, they were forced to close down. But now it's still in lights, and you guys are helping that happen. And putting his apple fritter recipe that Nick Somero, who now owns and runs Donuts Delight, it's the exact same recipe since 1958.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are putting real apple fritters in a beer. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. I remember as a kid, Donuts Delight, to me, it's the cream-filled, the powdered sugar. They go poof, you know, they kind of get it all over your face and on your clothes when you eat one. And those have been really special. And actually, I remember talking to you, Soccer Sam, right around the time I think you got out of the hospital. You were back working for the Rhinos in a certain capacity, and you told me that you were actually, you know, looking into resuscitating that brand. And I mean, we were thrilled. And I think for us, it's an honor to be able to use that to work with you and Donuts Delight, the brand that, you know, everybody in Rochester has a real soft, sweet spot for, and know that the quality of their product is exceptional. And to be able to put that in a beer is just sort of a weird way of doing it, you know. I just hope everybody likes it and enjoys it and, you know, come out. Nick Samarero is going to be bringing out some mini apple fritters. So anybody who comes by Three Heads at 4 o'clock on that Friday, we're going to, you know, you buy a beer, you're going to get a little taste of both worlds.
And I'm going to try to get Mr. Maley there too, and his whole family with Nick and his family. The guys have been keeping this brand going, and John and Ray who kept Donuts Delight going. I'm going to try to get everyone there on the 13th. 4 p.m. is the goal. Three Heads on Atlantic Avenue, Three Heads Brewery. And Dan, what? Tonight's the music fest. What else is going on? Three Heads, new beers coming out.
Yeah.
You know, we got a few minutes left here.
Well, I mean, if you're going to the air show today, we're doing a little sampling there. Say hi to Tommy. And I think you can buy Three Heads there and you can sample some. We got the Fairport Music Fest going on today. I'm sure we're doing some tastings at Wegmans. We got that, you know, the Donuts Delight beer coming out. We're going to be doing a pink raspberry seltzer for breast cancer awareness. So. Look for that.
Wait,
that'll
Breast be Cancer Coalition. They're part of this at all?
Yeah, we're gonna throw them. We're definitely gonna raise some money for American Cancer Society and the Breast Cancer Coalition. So if you buy that can or drink that beer at Three Heads, we're gonna donate a portion of that to benefit them. And then we're working with another thing in November. It's gonna be another. It's not quite Donuts Delight, but it's gonna be a nice little winter beer that we're gonna make. So. There's always great beers, like, and you know, there's always fresh kind and two kind and Rochester Farin coming out.
So anywhere you're out tonight, any place you're having dinner, make sure you get a Three Heads brewed product. And if you're out and about, you want to check out Three Heads Brewery. Tell us about your hours there and what's going on there at the brewery on Atlantic Avenue.
Yeah, 186 Atlantic. On the Saturday and Friday, we're open noon till midnight. We have live music tonight. You know, it's noon to 7 on Sundays. It's always a great thing to just stop by when you're kicking it on Sunday. But, you know, we encourage you also to find our beers at the local watering holes of your favorites. You know, make sure you support everybody. And then make sure if you want to do some takeout, just like, or go to any Salvatore's and grab some pizza or subs and deliciousness there and have a Three Heads there. That'd be great.
When is the Rocktoberfest out?
Oh, it's out now, buddy.
It's out everywhere.
Oh, yeah. You know, the fall beers, they got to come out August 1st, so it should be in all your local favorite places right now, and it should be around for a little while. It goes quick. People really like the fall beers.
So you're open today at noon? So
yeah, we open at noon.
So I could stop by there after and get a nice cold brew and just hang out for a little bit?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I like it.
Yeah.
So, Dan Nothnagel, you know, maybe not a business legend yet, but real close to it. What you've accomplished there on Atlantic Avenue with that brewery with your two buddies that started off in a basement, it's just remarkable. I mean,
thank you so much. I appreciate that. It is a source of pride that you forget to step back and say, but really, we couldn't have done it without the people of the area, though. That's really who helped us build it. I mean, our distribution partners over there at Lake Beverage, I mean, those guys help us every step of the way, too. Places, you know, like Beers of the World, Wegmans, longtime accounts, McGregor's, you know, Jeremiah's. You know, we have so many people, Dinosaur Barbecue, Salvatore's. You know, there's so many places, distillery, that really help us get to where we are. It's really not just us. It's the whole community.
And it's cool that I think a lot of the servers in all these places, they get the fact that you guys are cool and hip and it's a great beer and they push it.
Hopefully.
Yeah. They definitely do. I've experienced it. Dan Nothnagel, Three Heads Brewery, thank you so much for being part of the Word.
Thank you.
On the street, man.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you, Soccer Sam.
I will see you at Three Heads. I'm going, Richie, we're going there after the show. All right, man. A couple brews.